Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to John 3. Sunday, I think the message was titled The Growth Plate. Well, this is part two. When I don't get a particular name, I'll just go part one, part two, until we finish. Okay? John 3, verses 15 to 17. Out of the Voice translation reads, "For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his son, his only son, so that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life." Here's the point. God didn't send his son into this world to judge it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed toward certain destruction. Amen. So, you know, like to tell your neighbor, you're a rescue worker.
Rescue worker.
Okay, now turn to Matthew 13. I'm going to share verses 24 to 30 out of the New International Version. That Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather to wheat and bring them into my barn.'" So for some reason, growth was going to be able to make it to be easily distinguishable as to what's wheat and what's a weed. Okay? Most of us, we see weeds, the first thing we want to do is what? Grab them and pull them up. Okay? But the enemy came and sowed weeds. The sower sowed good seed. So there should have been no weeds. And the workers, and rightfully so, they're like, okay, we can take care of this. We'll just pull up all the weeds. And he was like, no. No, we're not going to chance damaging our prize crop. Let them both grow together. Now, I looked up a couple of things last weekend. I looked up weeds, and I didn't find any definition that said a weed is this particular species of plant. I found characteristics, such as a weed is a valueless plant growing wild, especially one that grows on cultivated ground. A weed is any undesirable or troublesome plant, especially one that grows where it's not wanted. So you can have a vegetable garden and a beautiful rose bush appear. That rose bush is considered a weed, because it doesn't belong there. You didn't plant it, it just showed up. But one of the things about weed, the bigger issue of weeds, is that weeds can overrun an area and eat up nutrients that were put there for your regular crop. Weeds, I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of the trees around this property, especially over in the buffer zones, you can only see the leaves for the vines that are on them. Those vines are considered weeds. And those vines have in the past choked the life out of some of those huge trees out there. And we know because it costs us money to have to remove them when they fall down, because they are not supposed to be there. and trying to, quote unquote, control them is expensive. Our landscapers won't do it for free, okay? But if we don't control them, they will take over, okay? You understand? All right, so in anything, any plant that's not supposed to be there is a weed. In our life, anything that's not supposed to be there is like a weed, okay? It's coming to suck the very life or choke the very life out of you. And we have to recognize them as such, but we also have to understand something else. I'll get to that in a minute. Okay. Now, in these parables, when we're talking about seeds, you need to understand that you're talking about the Word of God being the seed. And so for the sower to say, let them grow together, means that there must be something about the seed that he knows so that he's not concerned about the weeds that popped up. And I started thinking about that because when I read the word, I always read it in from the standpoint of, okay, what would I do? I would pull those, my thing, you don't belong, you got to go. Period. No prompt, no circumstance, no ceremony, you out of here. But obviously the sower had to know something about the seed because he wasn't concerned about letting them grow together for a time. So that let me know something. There's some things that I might have to put up with for a time. But if I stay patient and I allow the growth process to take place in me at the right time, I'll know exactly what to do about that thing. But we have to stop getting to the point where we just act, you know, because something's not right and we just go and just want to rip it to shreds. No, we need to be patient. And we have to trust the seed that was placed in us, that it is bearing good fruit, and that the fruit that it's bearing is much stronger than the weeds. The fruit of the seed is stronger than the weeds. The fruit of the seed has the ability to endure. The fruit of the seed has this, listen to this one. The fruit of the seed has the strength to maintain its identity, even if it's surrounded by weeds. See, we have to understand that. What God put in us will allow us to maintain our identity. That's why he said to us, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. See, as we grow, we'll develop an understanding as to what that means. To be in the world and not of the world. But we have to understand that the fruit of the seed of the Word of God will give us the strength to maintain our identity in Christ, no matter who we're surrounded with. And I like this last one. I like all of them, but this last one, I put it in a different color because it really hit home with me. The fruit of the seed has the ability to be sustained even though the weeds tap into its resources. Need to understand that. Even though the weed taps in to with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I was healed, I can still sustain and maintain my healing. Even though it tapped into my God shall supply all my need, it doesn't mean that God's going to stop supplying. All it means is that there's a weed there that's trying to make you give up, trying to make you think you're not going to have what you need because it's there. It's there in abundance because, remember, weeds grow out of control and wants you to feel like there's nothing you can do about it. Yes, there is something you can do about it. You keep growing. That's what it is. Because as he said, let both grow together. Together. See, We spend too much time thinking about the potential of the weeds. Too much time. And we're not thinking about the potential of the seed that's in us. We have to give more, as the young folks, we have to give props to the Word of God and not think about and not keep thinking about all the weeds that show up. God's Word will produce what it was designed to produce. Didn't he say, "My word shall not return to me void"? He said it will accomplish, not it might accomplish. He said it will accomplish that which I sent it out to accomplish. And we have to learn how to put a period there or an exclamation point. We put a question mark and wonder what's going on. In Philippians 2:9, familiar verse, says, "Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, what should happen? Every knee should bow." Every. Talk to Deacon Ken about that. Every's like all. Okay. There's nothing left. There's no condition that's excluded from every knee must bow. There's no condition excluded from every tongue confess. If we're patient and we continue to grow, that thing that's trying to get to tap you out, we'll have to admit Jesus Christ is Lord. We'll have to. But if we don't keep growing so we stay steady, we'll never see that. All right, God planted his seed. The enemy sows his weeds. But Jesus said, "I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." So it doesn't matter how many weeds show up, you have power over all of them. You know, it's funny. I heard something, I think it was on 700 Club. Deacon Phyllis was listening to it, watching it rather. And I heard the person say this. I had to laugh to myself because someone wrote in and asked a question about all these beliefs that people can go around and just pick up snakes. And he said, "Well, the word says you'll tread on serpents." He said, "The word didn't say you'll pick them up." Okay. But see, that's why you have to grow spiritually so you can rightly divide the word. And not have to rush to the hospital for anti-venom. Okay. Okay. But this particular parable about letting the weeds grow together, you know, that lets us know that if we would just concentrate on growing up and maturing spiritually, everything not of God will be easily and effortlessly removed. At the right time. Notice he said, "Let them grow until the harvest. Let them grow together until the appointed time." In due season, you will reap if you faint not. You will reap. What will you reap? You will reap the seeds that God planted, not the weeds. The weeds will be burned up first. So if the weeds are burned up first, all that's left is your harvest. Untouched. Untouched. See, as we allow the spiritual growth process to take place, we'll increase our knowledge. Will increase our spiritual knowledge, our spiritual strength, our spiritual wisdom, and our spiritual understanding, and it'll help us identify and stay firmly entrenched in our identity in Christ. We'll know who we are. We'll know our place in Christ. But if we don't grow up spiritually, we won't know that. Look at Mark 4, would you please? Just want you just to give you a little bit about the potential of what's in us. Mark 4, beginning at verse 30, Jesus said to them, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all seeds that be in the earth. But when it was sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Folks, that's the way we're supposed to grow and develop and blossom, so that we can benefit others. And we're supposed to grow spiritually to the point where we're seen as being bigger than any circumstance that comes. So when things, we hear things in the news and things that are happening that we know are not of God, and that it talks and acts of destruction and turbulence and all of those, people should come flocking to us. Why? Because we demonstrate that we know what we're doing. We demonstrate that we know who we are. We demonstrate that God always comes to our rescue. We can't do that if we spend more time focusing on the weeds that pop up instead of staying, keeping our nose to the grindstone, so to speak, to keep allowing the spiritual growth process to continue. See, the weeds can be a distraction to your spiritual growth if you allow it. See, that's what we have. We have to keep understanding that. Everything that the enemy has to stop us needs our permission. We have to allow it to happen. And too many times we have been allowing it. In Luke 2, talking about the baby Jesus, says the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So growth is the key. And God expects us to grow spiritually. And for me, the question is, okay, I believe that. Now, how do I do it? What happens? What causes all of this? Well, it's very much like our natural bodies. As I shared Sunday, no one sees their body growing. You can sit down all day and stare at your hand. You are not going to see your fingers move and grow. And if you did, you'd probably pass out. Okay. But what do you see? You see the result of the growth process. All of a sudden, you have to buy larger clothing because the other ones, they're too small. And I'm talking about you grew this way, not the you know, you natural growth. Okay. I used to speak against natural growth because every year till I was 16, my age and my shoe size were the same. And I'm like, stop growing, okay? The funny part was then they really didn't, you know, technology was not such where they could make a good pair of shoes. So if the shoes were larger than size 12, the toes curled up, looked like elf shoes. Okay. And people used to tease me, "Hey, Foots, why are your shoes curled up?" And I got upset one day and I said, "They curled up from..." You fill in the blank. No one said that anymore. Okay. But see, your body is growing. There's a period of time where your body is supposed to grow. Usually it stops after puberty. Usually, but that's not always the case. I mean, when I was in high school, I was 6'3 and a half, maybe 6'4. I went to college, and from September to November, I grew to 6'6". Okay. I didn't see anything grow. All I know is I had invested all this money in clothes, and my pants were now like this. Okay. I'm thinking about the money I spent, because, you know, you're going on campus, you want to look good. You go there looking like Urkel, because you just grew. But here, my brother went from 5'11 to 6'5 over a summer. Just, I mean, that's what happened. And we went through growth spurts like that. We didn't see it happening. He just walked by me one day, and I'm like, wait a minute, Elbert, wait a minute. He's like, what's the most? I said, where are I? When did this happen? Okay. But see, in our body, in the long, all of the bones don't grow. Our body has long bones. They have some long bones. And at the end, like if this is a long bone, at each end is an epiphyseal plate. You see, I've been practicing that word. That's also called the growth plate. And what it does is that growth plate is really like a very active construction site. It keeps multiplying cells and pushing them into the long bones so that the long bones get longer. And in that process, guess what happens to your body? It grows. You don't see it happening. You don't feel it happening. But you just see the results of the growth. And then after puberty, then that seal just seems to thin out because it's like it's not needed anymore because your body is already grown according to specs, so it doesn't need any more growth. The growth plate itself is very fragile. So any fracture or something to it could stunt your growth. And that's why in children, when they break their arms or break their leg or something like that, where the break is can be of concern to doctors, because if it's too close to the growth plate, it could affect the overall growth of that limb. That's why you'll see sometimes some folks, one arm is much shorter than the other. Something happened to that growth plate, okay? And it stayed, even though, I mean, there are, what did I find out, 200, when you're an adult, there are 206 bones in your body. You started out with 270. Some fused together, you didn't drop bones along the way, okay? But, and most of them are not active. You know, they do what they're supposed to do, but the long bones, they have to stay active because they're the ones that produce growth. You understand? See, they have to work 24/7. Well, our growth plate, the believer's growth plate, is the Word of God. That's what stimulates the growth in us. Look at Hebrews 4. I'm going to share it from the Moffat translation, and I'm going to share it in a minute from the Living. But the Moffat says, for the Logos of God, what's Logos? The Word of God is a living, active, and more cutting than any sword with double edge. The Word of God, it's living, and it's active. It's never dormant and should never be dormant. It should always be producing spiritual growth, and it's not dependent on what's going on around you, but it can be dependent on what's going on within you. Because you have to decide what you're going to do with it. It's perfect seed. But you have the responsibility of nourishing it. As you do with any seed, you have to nourish it. We had plants once on a terrace, and we looked at the plants, because it was a very hot day. And I think we were away for a day or two or something. But we came back and these plants were shriveled. And again, our first thought was, they're toast. Let's get rid of them. But then we thought about it, we said, they're just deprived of what they need. So we flooded them with water. And it just sucked it up, and in 20 minutes was still dry again. We kept giving it water. Then we went to bed, woke up in the morning, and it was like, hi, I'm back. Here I am. Okay. So we kept giving it what it needed. If we didn't give it what it needed, it would have died. The Word of God has been deposited in us. That seed has been deposited in us. We have to give it what it needs. What does it need? I'm going to tell you that in a minute. In the Living Bible, it says, for whatever God says to us is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest dagger, cutting swift and deep into our innermost thoughts and desires with all their parts, exposing us for what we really are. See, our growth plate, God's Word, it doesn't only let us know our potential, it lets us know where we are in the growth process. Sometimes we don't want to hear that part of it, but it lets us know. Word of God will tell you, no, you're not all that. No. You need to go back and you need to feed on this. Because sometimes we feed on the wrong thing, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute also. But what I want us to understand in that, where it says it lets us know where we are, it exposes us to who we really are. We have to understand that our spiritual growth has nothing to do with our physical age. Just because you've been born again for 25 years doesn't necessarily mean you're spiritually mature. Doesn't necessarily mean that. And we have to understand that. It has nothing to do with age. Yes, there is an expectation. In Titus, it talks about what the older men are supposed to do, and how the young and what the younger women, the older women are supposed to do. Yet, there is an expectation that age should bring about godly wisdom. Yes, it's an expectation, but it's not necessarily true in everybody. You know, there are too many folks that remember that commercial. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. Okay, all right. Well. Too many of us want to be Toys R Us kids because with growing up, spiritually becomes more responsibility. But I want to go back to just letting you know that just because you're older in age doesn't necessarily mean you're spiritually mature. Right? I've shared this account a number of times. I just like sharing it, and it fits everywhere. But you had the king. You had the chief priests, you had the elders, you had the trained military, you had every single adult older than David afraid of Goliath. Every single one, not one of them, not one of them would demonstrate that they believed that they were in covenant with God. Not one of them would demonstrate that they were more than able to stand up to this uncircumcised Philistine. But this teenage boy who had never fought another person in his life, he tended sheep, but he was taught covenant. He was taught about God, and he believed what he was taught. And he used that as a shepherd. So when a lion and a bear came, he's like, oh, no, you won't. I'm responsible for this lamb. And he said, the same God who delivered him from the lion and the bear would deliver him from this uncircumcised Philistine. He's a teenager. Never been in a fight, but was willing to take on one of the biggest people in the world who, up until that time, was undefeated. Even the king said, you're not able to go against this guy. But they want their spiritual maturity left when Goliath stepped out and challenged them. You know, it's always easy to talk a good game when you're not facing anything. Okay. But when you're facing something that talks back to you, okay. Then we'll see, okay, now we'll see who's really mature here. You know, now we'll see whether or not you've grown. But none of them were willing to face Goliath. None of them would demonstrate that they had faith in God or even had a covenant with God or even that God cared about them. So we need to understand our spiritual growth. It's not contingent on how old you are, how many years you've been born again, or how many times you read your Bible. It's not contingent on that. It's dependent on whether or not you're feeding on the Word. There's a difference between reading the Word and feeding on the Word. And let me tell you what the way it was explained to me. Feeding on the Word is taking it in and allowing it to turn into faith and then acting on that faith. It's not just feeding on the Word. It's also an indicator of spiritual growth. See, if all I'm doing is reading the Word so I can get into a conversation and I can spout off Scripture, that's not doing anything for my growth. I read the Word. I see what it said, the just shall live by faith. Okay, what does it mean? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Okay. I can go with that. And so I start learning how to step out in faith. Every step I take in faith is causing me to grow spiritually. I read what the Word says. Okay, my God shall supply all my need. Done. I'm going. God said it. I'm going with it. I don't care what I don't have. God said, my God shall. He said shall. So that means all I have to do is just keep going and it's going to come. But yeah, I'm growing spiritually. I'm reading the Word and I'm applying it. And the more I read, the more I apply, the more I understand, the more wisdom that I get, I'm growing spiritually. And folks should see the results of that. My brain probably won't get any bigger, you know, but the things that I do should demonstrate I believe the Word of God. If it doesn't, then I'm not growing spiritually. And I'm not spiritually mature. Now, I don't want you to mistake not being spiritually mature with spiritually maturing. You know, sometimes some of us are in that maturation process. That's okay. That's different than being immature. You know, all right, so you take little steps instead of big steps. That's okay. That's okay. The baby starts out crawling. He starts out crawling. Well, actually, first he learns that I could stand up. This is good. You say, come here. No, I'm not doing that. You know. But so you go and you just take, just all he needs to do is just feel, he needs to feel your hand. Then he won't take one step and then look at your left. Yeah. Okay. Then take another step. Whoop, 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 whoop. You catch him. Okay, don't fall. Okay, I got. But he gets comfortable doing that because he knows you're there to support him. He's not going to find out that you're there if it doesn't take the step. And then he gets so comfortable, he takes more steps. And then you go, I just let go. And next thing you know, then he's in everything. You're like, why did I let him walk? But he was in that process. Doesn't mean that he wasn't spirit. He was in that maturing process. And that's where some of us are spiritually, and that's okay. As long as you allow the process to continue. And you don't get to a point where something happens and you fall, And he said, that's it. No, I'm not doing this anymore. No, you have to let the process continue. You're not going to keep falling. Not like that person. You've fallen, but you can get up. Okay, 1 Peter 2 tells us that as newborn babes, we're to desire the pure milk of the word. Why? So that we may grow. Grow. So we have to make sure that the word we're getting is pure. It's pure. That's why it's so important to be where God sent you. It's so because God is not going to send you anywhere to get spoiled milk. Okay. He's not going to send you anywhere to get, you know, as inconvenient as I'm told it is, but natural breast milk is better for your child than infant milk. I mean, that's learning, getting a processor and processing food is better than buying baby food. Why? Because those things are not pure. Even Ivory soap isn't 100% pure. If you read it, we need to grow. We need pure word. We don't need instant word. We don't need packaged word. We need pure word. Basic fundamentals, who we are in Christ. Whose we are in Christ. What do we have in Christ? What can we do as believers? We need to know those things so that we can grow spiritually. Because if we don't know those things, we won't know who we are or what we can do, so we won't do anything. And we need to know that we start out as infants. You know, does a natural baby, when he or she is born, does it go from infancy immediately to adulthood? No, there are stages. First it's an infant. Then you can say it's a child. Then I'll just jump right over toddler and just go to it's a teenager. Now not a child, a teenager. Then that teenager becomes an adult. Okay, there's a process that happens, and each process there should be demonstrations that this child has matured from this point to that point, and it should be the same with us. We grow as the word increases from grace to grace. And that growth, I should say the result of that growth, should be visible. It should be able to be seen by anyone. But the key is that while you're in that growth process, you remain in Christ. No matter what happens, you remain in Christ. Now, Ephesians 4, I'm going to share verses 14 to 16. I'm going to share them out of the Message Bible because it keeps everything in the perspective of this lesson. No prolonged infancies among us. Please. We will not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. That's one sign of spiritual maturity, that we're like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, is another sign, who is our source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. We need to understand that. It begins by saying that passage, no prolonged infancies. See, it doesn't mean that you're never going to be an infant. It means that you're not supposed to be an infant longer than you should be. Okay, that's what it means. Prolong means to make longer than usual or expected. Right? There's nothing wrong with being an infant. Like I said, no one's born an adult, but there's everything wrong with being an infant when you should be in the child stage, or certainly when you should be in the adult stage. If you're still an infant, there is something wrong. Okay? As I said a little while ago, we weren't created to be Toys R Us kids. We were created to grow. I have the whole jingle here. I'm not going to sing it. You get all you want to. I'm not going to sing it. Go on YouTube. You'll hear it. See, the scriptures tell us that the baby Jesus grew in strength and spirit and in wisdom. But there's something else I want you to see. I told you that you should see the result of growth, of spiritual growth. Well, if you're experiencing spiritual growth, then you should be seen casting off the works of darkness, as it says in Romans 13, 12. You would be seen putting off old behavior, which was corrupt, according to Ephesians 4, 22. You would also put off sins of the flesh, as it says in Colossians 2, 11. You'd put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, like it says in Colossians 3, 8. Lie not to what that means. Don't tell lies, okay? Because you've put off the old man and his deeds. And then they would see further proof, further evidence that you have grown spiritually because you've put on a new man, the new woman, which is created after God in righteousness and in true holiness. So if it says true holiness, there must be a false holiness. Okay? You can read that in Ephesians 4:12. In Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on the whole armor of God so you could stand in the evil day. So if you're not standing, you haven't put on the whole armor. And the reason you didn't put on the whole armor is because you were not spiritually mature. If you have hanging in your closet down coat, sweater, cap, ear mugs, gloves, boots, and there's a blizzard outside and you go out dressed like this in shirt sleeves, you're immature. You have everything you need and you know it's there. It's been purchased for you, and you won't put it on. That's a sign of spiritual immaturity. Colossians 3:10 says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Down in verse 12, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering should also be evident in the spiritually mature. See, God knew that he knew that we couldn't do this alone. So he gave us gifts. And you know them. He says he gave some to be pastors, some evangelists, apostles, teachers, miss one, prophets. And the reason he gave them, it says, it was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. See, the idea is for us to be no longer children, to be spiritual adults. Not to be children tossed to and from any word that comes down the pike. Because that's what immature people do. They'll hear a word, it sounds good, they run over here. They hear something else, they run over there. No. You're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Instead, you've learned how to speak the truth in love. See, that's a sign of spiritual maturity. You can speak the truth, but you can speak it in a manner where the person does not want to receive it. That's not maturity. You speak the truth in love. Why? It'll be received. Love covers. So that means if we're speaking the truth in love, it's to cover, not smack away. All right? And then he gave us the comforter. He gave us the person of the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. One translation says, into all the truth there is. So we don't have any excuses, folks. There's no reason why our spiritual growth plates shouldn't be healthy and vibrant and producing all of the time. I'm going to close with this, with Matthew 5, verse 47 and 48 in the Message Bible. Because again, it talks about what we're to do, and it talks about what should be seen. It says, you're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. I wish the people on Facebook understood that. Okay. Let them bring out the best. Let your enemies bring out the best in you. All right? Not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives us his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up. Grow up. So he's equating growing up with loving your enemy. letting your enemies bring out the best in you. He's saying, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. So he's telling us why he expects us to grow up. We're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way God lives towards you. Folks, we have to understand that God, what God placed in us is supposed to grow and bear fruit. Because see, a mature tree bears fruit. It bears fruit. And the fruit it bears is not for itself to eat. It bears fruit so that others can go to it and be nourished. That's why we're here. We need to understand, God, tell your neighbor, God expects all of us to grow up spiritually. I'm done. No, I'm going on hook. I'm going on hook. All right. I'm not going to keep you any longer. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, all the honor, all the praise. Thank you, Father, for putting the seed, the word of God, within us and encouraging us to let it grow so that we can grow. Our desire is to grow spiritually into all that you've created us to be. So, Lord, we thank you that you're going to continue to have the Holy Ghost guide us. Let us know, just like some plants come with directions, some seed packets come with directions, you'll give us directions on what we need to do, how we're to nourish our spirits so that they mature and we grow into the mature man and woman of God that you've created us to be. We know that's your desire and that's our desire. And we thank you, Father, for being patient with us while we're in that growing process. And we'll learn to be patient with others while they're in that growing process. Because really, when you think about it, our impatience is just an indicator that we still have some growing to do. So we're going to grow together. And we're not going to be concerned about the weeds because we understand that the fruit of the seed you placed in us is much stronger than any weed or any group of weeds or field of weeds. So we thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit you'll show us how to apply the principles that we learned this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.